Good afternoon, and welcome to our 2021 Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Service. For those of you who don't know me, I am Nancy Flynn, and along with my husband Peter and a group of wonderful and dedicated board members, we are the facilitators for the Empty Cradle for Parent Support Group, and we would like to welcome you. Whether you are here at Olivet or joining us via Zoom, we hope that what will happen this afternoon will be a positive experience for you as we honor and pay tribute to the children we loved that we were not able to raise but will live on forever in our hearts. And as we take another step forward in our journey towards healing. Before we begin, I would like to introduce some very special people, and without whose help, none of this could have been made possible. Because as you can well imagine, it takes many hands to make an event like this possible. To begin, my husband Peter, over here on the computer, running the Zoom program, my right hand and teammate, who helps put my plans into action. We have Nicole and Jacqueline here, two of our board members, and Tabitha is joining us via Zoom to make sure that everything on the receiving end of the Zoom technology will work the way it's supposed to today. I'd also like to give my sincere appreciation to Rob, who is sitting at the back as our audiovisual person, and making sure that the music runs and the videos run and everything runs smoothly. So thank you, Rob, for getting up your Sunday afternoon. And also to Olivet's Associate Pastor, Jocelyn Melder, who you will hear from in a few moments with words of love for all of us. So, having said that, let us begin. I'll direct your attention to the candle table, and we have lit them in advance this year because of COVID and just to make life easier, which apparently is a good thing because some of them just didn't want to light. So we're going to start with the white candle of community. And Empty Cradle is a part of a community, of a larger community. And like any community, it has various members, from the wee little ones to the older ones. And this is the part of the service that's dedicated to our children. So if we have children in the audience, if you'd like to come forward and just sit on the stairs here in front of the table, and Miss Nicole will read a story to you called No New Baby. And then after we're finished with the story, then there will be coloring sheets to keep you occupied while your parents have their story. And, of course, parents are going to show the kids what a great audience you can be and eavesdrop on the story, which will appear on the screen.
No new baby. My mommy was going to have a baby. Now she's not. Mommy went to the doctor. Something was wrong. Daddy took her to the hospital. When he came home, he said our baby had died. Daddy looked very sad. Daddy said our baby was born before it was ready to live. He said it was too tiny to stay alive. He said Mommy had to stay all night at the hospital. I was scared. Daddy read to me and tucked me into bed. I hung his penguin tight and looked at my nightlight. I wish Mommy was here, I said. I wish everything was okay. Me too, Daddy said. Then he kissed my forehead. When Mommy came home, she hugged me and cried. The baby wasn't in her tummy anymore. Daddy looked like he had been crying too. I was sad. When the baby was inside Mommy, I patted her tummy. I could feel the baby tick. One time I patted really hard. Ouch, be careful, Mommy said. Then she hugged me and laughed. I had helped get baby's room ready, too. Come on, big sister. Daddy had yelled, let's get the baby crib. He He carried me piggyback all the way to the garage. Together we carried in the crib and washed it. Mommy got out my Winnie the Pooh sheets and my teddy bear blanket. How come baby gets my playroom for a bedroom? I had asked. I liked it better just the way it was. I didn't like everybody changing things around just because of a baby. Sometimes I didn't want a new baby at all. One day I put Penguin in the crib for baby. In a little while I took it back. I put it in my Striped Kitty instead. I wanted to keep Penguin. I didn't think a baby could tell the difference anyway. One time I helped Mommy fold my old sleepers and undershirts. I put them in the top drawer all by myself. You wore this giraffe sleeper 2 days after you were born, Mommy said. I held it up. My hand was as long as the whole sleeve. It was fun helping getting ready for the baby. Now there won't be any new baby. It's not fair. It's like saying there's going to be a birthday party with balloons and ice cream and then there isn't one after all. It's like waiting for your friend to come and play and she doesn't show up. Grandma came over this morning. Let's go to the park and swing, she said. I love going to the park with Grandma. She tells me stories. She knows things like why there's water and clouds and the butterflies fly. On the way to the park, Grandma stopped. Look at this beautiful bush, she said. The bush was all full of flowers. Last time we were here, there were just tiny buds, Grandma said. Now they're opening newborn blossoms. I stood on my tiptoes to see better. Grandma, why did our baby die, I asked. Why was baby born too soon? Did I do it when I tried it too hard? Sometimes I didn't want a new baby. Grandma gave me a big, soft hug. No, she said. Baby didn't die because you patted hard. Nothing you said or did or thought could ever make baby die. It's nobody's fault. It just happened. I don't know why. It wasn't like Grandma not to know. Grandma took hold of my hand. She leaned over and picked something up off the ground. See this little bud, she asked? It was supposed to keep growing and turn into a flower, but it didn't, and no one knows why. Most little buds become flowers, but some don't. This one died. It will never be a flower now. I held the bud in my hand. Just like our baby, I told Grandma. I felt sad inside. Grandma swung with me for a long time. I pumped so high I could see almost to China and clear past Jason's house. Before we went home, Grandma hugged me again. We are sad because our baby died, she said, and it's okay to be sad. We are still a family and we love each other. When we get home, I walked over to Jason's. He's learning to ride a two-wheeler and he likes me to watch. I'm learning to skate and sometimes I like him to watch. Jason wants to own a candy store when he grows up. I want to grow up and be a doctor, but right now, I just want to be a big sister. Maybe someday, I hope so.
Thank you, Nicole. The conversation between the little girl and her grandmother has great meaning for all of us. Why did our babies die? It was nobody's fault. There is nothing we could have said or done or thought that would have prevented this from happening. But even though losing a baby is one of life's most devastating experiences, because not only is the baby lost, but also all the hopes, dreams, and plans you had already created for that child since you knew of their existence. We are here today together to remember those children that we loved so much and to take a significant step forward as we remember together and pay tribute to them. Empty Cradle was actually founded in 1991 when founder Patty Lou lost her son at the end of her pregnancy when she was ready to deliver. Since then, dozens and dozens of families have passed through the doors, and we have tried our best to keep the society available and open so that we could help as many of those people as we can. Because as we heal together, we can share with others to help them on their healing journey and help all of you on their healing journey. We joined the group in 1995 after the stillbirth of our daughter Angel, and I have never looked back. Being here, supporting other bereaved families, and helping to run the group has been an incredible source of healing for Peter and I, and we are grateful to have this opportunity. Every year when we have our service, we pick a theme song. And this year's theme song is called Visitor from Heaven from Twyla Harris. And I'll ask Rob to play that now.
Thank you.
attention to the middle candle, the pink candle of love. It is out of love that our babies were conceived, and it is with love that we wanted them to stay. We will never forget them, and that love I'm sure they felt right until the very end, and it will never leave our hearts. We've seen lots of changes here at Olivet. For 12 and a half years, our former pastor, Reverend Laura Nelson, shared her love for the congregation with us. And for the last 2 years, she presented the words of love here at our service. This year, we have the special privilege of welcoming our new associate pastor, Reverend Jocelyn Melder. Just upgraded you, Jocelyn, to share what's on her heart with us. So if you'd like to come up and share with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy, for upgrading me to doctor. Not yet.
Foreshadowing in the future?
Maybe. I'm so honored to be here with all of you today. Peter and Nancy invited me into your world over this past summer by sharing some of their own personal experience. And it is so good to be here with all of you today. I am the pastor of community life here at Olivet. And what that means is that I spend a lot of time thinking about what it means to be in community and what it means to be part of community, what it means to do things together and how we share meaning. And something else that I spend a lot of time thinking about is what it's like to be an outsider looking in. And I think that's probably a feeling that a lot of us are familiar with in different ways. But there's something super powerful that happens in community, in that it creates space for us to belong. The reason community is so powerful is because just by creating a sense of community, we highlight this truth that we so often forget. We belong to one another. I belong to you, and you belong to me. We are made for one another, and none of us are meant to be alone. Why do I say this? So often we live our lives for ourselves. We can call this self-serving, and sometimes in incredible times of pain, we would call this self-protecting. There are reasons for this. We are biologically wired to protect ourselves and to protect others from harm. So if I belong to you, and you belong to me, then when I experience something extremely painful, and I experience a loss, I will protect myself. I will protect my body, my mind, my heart from further harm. And that is good, and that is right. Yet in this deep, painful place, we can often forget that we are made for one another, and we are made to be with one another. I have not experienced this unique type of pain and loss. I do not know what it is like to be pregnant, or to carry a child, or to have a child that came but couldn't stay. I can only imagine the pain of infertility, miscarriage, and an infant loss. I have never experienced recurrent loss of children, and I will never know this pain in the way that you do. And in this experience that is unique to you, I am on the outside, looking in. But what I know about community is that even when I am the outsider, I belong to you. I belong to you, and you belong to me. We may not share the same life experience. As a single, never married woman, I know what it means to grieve the loss of something I have never had. To hope for what has never been. Or to imagine a future that can never be. I know the loss of hope and the loss of love, and I can listen to your grief. I can come alongside and know that I may never fully understand your experience, but I can be present with and for you in your pain, in the same way you are present with and for me in mine. For those who are not familiar with the Bible, and even those of you who may be, there is a short list of instructions in the Bible that I love. I like instructions about life because it gives shape to something that is shapeless and a concrete challenge in the midst of unspeakable pain. And these words come in the shape of a letter, and I want to read a few words for you from this letter called Romans. You may even refer to this list as a call to action. These are the words from the Bible. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. This is a strong challenge to us from the Bible to really love one another. One of my favorite Christian authors, Sarah Bessie, who also has a heart for those who are on the outside looking in, has something to say to us about this call to action for God's people. When she reads these words from the Bible, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep, she has a response. She writes, not offer opinions with those who weep. Not justify and speculate with those who weep. Not center my own self with those who weep. Not, well, what about with those who weep? And Sarah Bessie writes this prayer, God Almighty, until we learn to weep with those who weep, what are we even doing? I want to pause here and say to all of you, I am sorry. I am sorry that someone offered you an opinion about your body, your choices, your way of grieving, your future family. I'm sorry that someone chose to speculate about your experience as if your life is a puzzle to be solved or a problem to be fixed. I'm sorry that someone decided to center their own life experience in the midst of yours, overshadowing or overpowering your pain, comparing your loss to their own. I am sorry that someone tried to offer suggestions of things they think you never thought about, not knowing how attentively and compassionately you have thought all of those thoughts and worked tirelessly to name all of those feelings. I'm sorry that someone chose to speak for you simply because you had no words to speak. I'm sorry that your lack of word finding and chosen silence was misunderstood as an opportunity to speak more pain into your life. I'm sorry for all the times you needed someone to weep with you, and there wasn't anyone. I know there are some of you here today, in person or online, who have no experience of God or desire to know Jesus. And so I want to offer something to you that was offered to me before I knew God, when I was in a deep, painful place. And that is space. Space to come exactly as you are and be exactly who you are. And know that in this space and with these people, you are known and loved. And this is the gift of community. We belong to one another. I belong to you, and you belong to me. And among us, there are no outsiders. Together, we will find hope and healing.
Thank you. Thank you, Jocelyn. That was lovely. I really appreciated hearing those words, and I hope that they were supportive and helpful to those of you here and on Zoom as well. Now we turn our attention to the final candle, the purple candle of memory. As we remember the children we loved, wanted, and lost, we now come to the part of the service that is the part that you can participate in if you are here. And if you are at home visiting on Zoom, we hope that you will take a moment to reflect as well and share your feelings with those around you at this moment, and perhaps light a candle in memory of your child. For those of you here, in your package, you have three things. You have a small white candle. This one you will bring forward with you. If you come down this aisle and walk along the front to the table, light it from the taper candle, and hopefully it will light, and then place it on the mirror around the candle of your choice. Then take your heart and walk over to the other table. Place the heart on the tree. We invite you to write your child's name on the heart, and if you have a message, please feel free to do so. You will be the only one that sees these hearts. We will not read them afterwards. They will be shredded. But for now, we would like you to take that step to write your child's name and a message and leave it on the tree. Then behind the tree, you will see a whole group of colored flowers. Please feel free to take one flower for each child you've lost. When you see them at home, in a special place wherever you put them, please remember the babies that are not here with you. And remember what happened today in this service. In doing so, we hope it is another step in your healing journey. There is one other thing in your little package, and that is a colored scented candle. We hope that you will take these home and put them in a holder, perhaps with your child's name on them. And each time you light that candle, let the sweet essence of the candle remind you of the perfect sweetness of your little one. And we hope that you will treasure those thoughts. So I'm going to ask Rob to start the music up again. Take your time. If you would like to say a few words or name your child out loud, there is a microphone on the other table. It is turned on. Please feel free to use it. And when everybody has had a chance to share or to light their candles and leave their hearts, then I will come up and have a few closing words, and then we will recite the poem on the back of your program, which also will appear on the screen together. So when you feel ready, please come forward and light your candles.
all my dreams come true, I am free. If I lost you, fall through the cracks and lose my track in this crazy lonely world. Sometimes it's so hard to believe that when the nights can be so long, the fate gave me the strength to keep me holding on.
I think I need to throw out all the little tea lights and start fresh mixture. We want to thank you on behalf of your empty cradle board of directors and the staff here at Olivet Baptist Church for joining us this afternoon. We hope that what happened here today will be meaningful and will be a positive memory for you as you remember. The service is about to come to an end. You are welcome to stay for a few minutes and reflect on what has happened here today. And if you would like, if it's time for you to leave, please just do so respectfully and quietly as so as to not disturb the people who are wanting to stay. And please use this exit to walk out. I forgot to tell you at the beginning, if anybody needs restrooms, they're at the bottom of the ramp. And in closing, I'm going to invite Pastor Jocelyn back up, and she will lead us in reciting the poem, We Remember Them. If you'd like to stand and join us, As I said, the words will appear on the screen. And for those of you who have your access to your program on your phone or whatever, if you'd rather read them that way, but we hope you will join us. And please join us at home on Zoom as well.
Let's read together. In the rising of the sun and in its going down, we remember them. In the blowing of the wind and in the chill of winter, we remember them. In the opening of bud and in the rebirth of spring, we remember them. In the blueness of the sky, and in the warmth of summer, we remember them. In the rustling of leaves, and in the beauty of autumn, we remember them. As long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us, as we remember them. When we are weary and in need of strength, we remember them. When we are lost and sick at heart, we remember them. When we have joys we yearn to share, we remember them. When we have decisions that are difficult to make, we remember them. From the beginning of the year until it ends, we remember them. As long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them.
Thank you, Jocelyn. Thank you all for joining us this afternoon. We wish you a safe trip home and the peaceful rest of your day. May you ever be surrounded by community and by support and by love. Thank you for joining us.